for Wednesday, October 29th, 2008. This is the Social Geeks Episode 10, a room with four tables, an open bar, and a bunch of Coke. Welcome, everybody. It's Episode 10, running in light mode tonight. No, that doesn't mean we're using just iPhones tonight. It means it's me and Wayne so far because apparently we picked a bad day. So apparently we're in competition with about 50,000 other events. Well, Wayne, how you doing, first of all?
I'm doing well, man. How you doing?
I'm great, because we've got Sarah at PDC, who has sent out, I think, approximately 4 million tweets the past 2 days. We have Lewis on the Read Burner call, we think, and I know you're listening in the background. We have no idea where Caleb is. And for gosh sakes, Corvita said she's going to be here this week and even, like, promised. And we haven't seen hide nor hair of her in 2 episodes. So I think we can cut it really quick and short and make life easy for her. What's been going on with you? What have you been up to? You've been talking about – you've got, like, what, 50 different shows you're doing right now, aren't you?
Yeah, man. I have the Talk Social News podcast with myself and Kip is going and continue doing our stuff for the station, Baby Threads, and my projects keep getting pushed in the back burner, Wayne setting that TV, and, you know, we got another project hopefully launch soon called, Tweet Shop, so I think I might have to narrow some projects down and launch a couple, launch one or two, and you could focus on the existing ones we have going.
Because every time I look at what you're doing, you're driving to another event. That's pretty much it. I don't think you actually go to an office anymore. You're at the point now where you just drive.
Oh, I wish that was the case.
you just everywhere you go. I'm in the car. I'm late. That's all I see. So we'll make this easy tonight. Few things to key in on. The first one we were talking about before we started is we gave everyone a chance to get in, and I want to start with this one because you were kind of surprised when you saw it, which to me was surprising because I thought you'd know about it. But it's the Gawker Stalker. So it's gawker.com/stalker, which we'll always have in the show notes. So it's reverse location awareness, if that makes any sense at all. The ability, instead of, like what you do, we talked about, you've mentioned it a few times on Twitter, is about Brightkite, and you put where you're going to be. I put where I am a lot, either through Brightkite or Plazes or any of the other location services. But instead, this is people reporting where other people are. So when you first opened the site, since you hadn't seen it, what did you think?
At first, I thought that this is the next version of TMZ, just, user submitted, and this was really, really bad for the future of location-based services because it could give it a bad name and stop the growth of it. And then, is this really going to work? Now I'm looking at it because people are so obsessed with, these celebrities, these stars, what they are, paparazzi, and them now matching up with the web. I think it's like a good idea to basically find out more celebrity gossip, the news about what these, celebrities are doing.
Well, and it's give people the idea of what it is, since they may have listened to this hopefully first. You send an email tip into an address, they grab it, you put the time and the location exactly as best you can of where you saw the star, what they were doing, what they were wearing, if they were nice or not, and they put it on a Google mashup for Google Maps, and you get a layout of, right now it's covering mostly New York, but you get a layout of where every star was, and the weird part was, and I didn't know it till we were playing, is if you actually click one of the stars' names, it will show a massive mashup of just where they've been in the past amount of time. So you actually can get a habit of where a star always is, like within a few block radius. So it is kind of spooky in a way.
Yeah. And the thing I was saying earlier is, how they going to trust the information that they're getting? How are they going to trust the people submitting, photos or celebrity stalking? Like, I saw Lindsay Lohan here, I saw Paris Hilton here. So it's just going to be interesting how this whole, like you're saying, citizen stalking movement is now taking part.
Well, do you see it as an invasion of privacy? Because they're out in public when this takes place.
Yes and no. I mean, paparazzi do it all the time. So now they're just kind of giving that. It's the same thing with CNN and I report that, they're out taking pictures and, people submit content to them and they put on the air, and they probably could care less about privacy, that sort of thing. And now we're, you know, it's just the matter of these are quote-unquote celebrities, you know, taking pictures and putting stuff on the internet. Celebrities, you know, paparazzi do it all the time. So what's the difference between paparazzi besides a group of people with cameras putting his hands or this individual who can just see a, take a picture of Lindsay and email it into a Gawker media?
Yeah, but I think in a way, you know, just it's been a while, this the site, though, and Jason talked about, but it became popular when our chat room saying, yeah, it's been out for a while, and even Calacanis had talked about it. But the idea that it just got promoted again on something else, but I think it reaches beyond the paparazzi, because before paparazzi, that's what they do to make their money, is you have a handful or a large group, depending on the star, of people following somebody getting pictures. But now you've moved into people looking for fame and noticeability themselves by posting information, whether it's right or not. Someone, iFroggy, made a good point in the chat room. You know, it doesn't really do good fact-checking, but based upon some of the stuff people type, it's not like it doesn't seem too odd. You know what I mean? Seen them at the store, seen them at a local club, or they were out on a walk in the park or something, you know, easy like that. Doesn't seem like it's a big stretch.
Yeah, and also when I look at these sites, you know, I'm like, how do they make the money off of this? They have just one ad up there, right? You know, one 300x250 ad, and the rest is just, you know, a clean Google Maps mashup, so they're just talking site. So it's like anybody literally could have done this. And so it's kind of like, what's their motives, you know, just to create more celebrity trash sites, celebrity content?
Yeah, you bring up a good point. I'm interested to see. I can imagine it'll be around forever. People are always entertained by it. I was just surprised to see to the detail to which they were doing with it. You know, it's get people to the site, run some ads, but it's curious to do it. So we jumped over and we had another one in there. So we'll move through them all pretty good today. Did you play with Sobeys yet? Your social desktop aggregator. So it's Sobeys.com, Sobeys.com. Did you play with this? No?
Sobeys.com. Going to it now.
Sobeys.com. So the idea is a desktop social aggregator that you download and install. It's free. You personalize the desktop to what you want. Build your social network. They have a Vimeo-type newsreel on there you can read. You basically build your own little social network on your desk, everything from RSS to Facebook and Twitter status to web searches to weather, friends' activities. I mean, they're trying to cram everything into this is what they're trying to do.
Wow.
Yeah, it's one of those, you know, there's the audio in the background playing that you're hearing. I'll turn that down, but they have a little video on there. They show you how it works and what you can do, what you can grab. You want to cover election material, it's on there, and anything else you could want. I downloaded it. It takes a bit of work to get it set up.
Mm-hmm.
Takes a little bit of work to get it moving. But the idea is to give you a centralized, you know, aggregation point where you can pop up videos. You can play the streaming, you know, videos themselves. You can read the news feeds. I'm not seeing it as something that every person would want to download, mainly due to the fact that this has to be your desktop. This has to be what you live in, and so many of us live in other tools. Would it replace Twirl?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. Will it hook to the other services? Probably. So for the average user, I think this is pretty cool. I'm just worried about what's their revenue model. Where are they going to get money from? You know?
Can they like monetize the application to where they can just start displaying ads inside of their application, seeing a desktop?
It's
not like an Adobe Air app. It's like is it Windows only?
No, it looks like it's Windows now. What's funny is they actually went to PDC this week where Sarah is, and were invited to the Windows 7 lab, according to their blog. So they actually tested it. So they've already tested on Windows 7. So it looks like it's only a Windows solution from what I've seen. But it takes over your whole desktop. So it becomes your interface to the whole thing. So they had some coverage on TechCrunch and things like that.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of applications that take over your whole desktop. And, you know, we've been moving towards the browsers as desktop type movement versus installing another desktop application. But we've also been moving towards a lot of social aggregation. So I like that part of it, but as a desktop application, I'm not a big fan of that.
Well, looking at it, here's what you need. Sobeys runs on any fairly new Windows Vista or XP that has good graphics and a fast processor. So that tells you that it becomes your desktop, right? It eats it up. It requires .NET 3.5 SP1. That will install automatically if not. So that's what, it's not Mac, it's not Linux. It has some high overhead built into it. But as an aggregator, I'd rather see what you said. Aggregator, yeah, and I see our chat room stuff flying on the side. As an aggregator, I'd rather see something as an Air or something on the web that I can get from anywhere. but having a local app like this doesn't sound useful.
Yeah, no, I know. And then that's the last thing users want is, Adobe Air stuff is, I haven't played with this, but Adobe Air stuff is slick. It's not a big memory hog on your machine, but even though it is pulling down data from the internet, but I got a bad feeling about this as far as what it can do as far as use performance while working in other applications. You know, and I don't know. I have to, you know, I got a Mac, you know, I got a laptop laying around here somewhere, so a Windows laptop, so I'll give it a try and then see if I get a better review of it. But on the other note, like I said, social aggregation, look at what's going on with FinFeed, which is just the real time features. Look at what, you know, LinkedIn, Facebook, everybody's adding these live stream features and aggregating content. I think that's going to be real huge, real big in the future. I mean, not future, but like, it's real big for us right now in the tech scene, early adopters.
Right.
But like, where people can go to find content, because so much content is being put on the web. And then this is allow you to basically, I want to create my own social aggregation and just by information that I'm interested in, not just everybody else's information. So it's almost like, this is what comes to my head, building my own personal thin feed on my desktop.
That would be the way to go. Most definitely that would be the way to go. Well, I want to see if they can expand it, definitely to other platforms, maybe create a web version of it, and then play around with it that way, because I'd rather the resources run somewhere else. And then I can access it that way, just like you said, friend feed and the live. You missed our conversation last week. Have you been playing with the live pieces of friend feed yet?
Yeah, with the real time?
Yeah.
It's interesting because I was with Scoble with the other, not like this weekend for last week at the conference in Greensboro, and he showed his friend feed live, and then it was going, because he had 30,000 people or followed 30,000. His was going like, you know, faster than a few minutes ticket taker. You couldn't even hardly read it, you know, just going. And then, you know, I started mine up, and, you know, it was actual, you know, it wasn't going that fast, but it was going pretty fast. But I found it, well, I could sit here and watch this and see some up-to-date information about what other people are sharing on their friend feed channel. It was, you know, something you can't get addicted to and just watch the content come in.
So his was useless, is what you're saying, because it was moving too fast, right? It was useless at that point.
Yeah. It's almost like where I'm at now, while following so many people on Twitter, unless you at me, it's hard for me just to follow the main conversation because it's just too much information coming in. So there are challenges to where, you know, you build a new social aggregation, you either want to make it niche on different social aggregation on niche topics or by different communities. Almost the same thing. Like, I just want a podcast social aggregation. I'm going to build like a profile or a community on podcasts. And then another one, just say, on social networks.
Yeah, we were in the midst of it last week when it launched. So I think it was the day that it launched that we were actually in the midst of it. And we didn't talk the first few minutes. We just wanted to sit there and watch the feeds go by because it was drawing our attention immensely. We had nothing to talk about. You know, we had Caleb out, you know, sitting out in his hotel room, and Jeff sitting there, and we were all just staring at friend feeds go by. And I found that you could waste a whole day just watching that junk go by all day long. We had another one in the group. Now, this is a quick one because I want to move on to the big topic of, you know, looking ahead. But one last cool one that came out that I think Chris Brogan was even pimping up a little bit was cloud contacts. You send them your business cards, and instead of, you know, piling them up on your desk as people hand them out, which you and I have moved on a little bit to, which I like, is Remember Me.
Yeah, same here.
Right, digital. You send a text message. I can either send your email address to the service and it mails you my card, or you can say get I Do Notes to Remember Me. RMBRME. So he's had to shorten everything. RMBRME. Send get I Do Notes to that, or get Wayne Sutton, right?
And that's
it'll suck back our business card right to their phone and their email, which is awesome. This reverses it and says, you know what, take the last 10 years of your life when there was all these paper business cards, mail them to us, and we will actually process them, scan them, and put them out in the cloud for you to start working with into your email applications, into LinkedIn, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And then there's something else I saw yesterday. I should have bookmarked it. There's another online business card site where you just basically cut your online, there's a few of those, put your online business card and just send people that to download your V card over the internet. But back to what you were saying about, was it, how you say,
Remember, it's called Remember Me, but it's R-M-B-R-M-E. Yeah, Remember Me.
Yeah, Remember Me, R-M-B-R-M-E.
If you can't spell, if you find it really quick, if you can spell, you'll never find them.
That's true. That's very true. Did you download the iPhone application?
No.
My fault. But still, the iPhone application is, I mean, I tested it out with another user because the new iPhone app you do not have to have an iPhone to distribute the application, your business card.
Okay.
Basically, I installed the Remember Me iPhone application. Another user can have any type of cell phone. I can beam them my Remember Me card by their phone number or email address. And basically what it does, it doesn't just send them your V card. So it's not like a V card to V, like address book to address book.
Right.
Beam. It sends them an email or a text message over the Beam, and then they can go to my Remember Me profile and download my V card that way and see my Remember Me setup. So still a pretty slick solution.
I think it's pretty slick. I think that, you know, we played with it at iTech here. When Chris Brogan and them were here, we actually played with it. And I really liked it. You know, people would say, hey, you know, give me your information. I'd say, hold on. And I'd simply just text their email address or their cell phone, and it would, you know, send them the message right away. No more business cards to carry around. They get everything that I have dynamically. So anytime I add a link or add another feature or whatever I want to do, they automatically get it. And they support a bunch of services right out of the box. So they'll pull in your profile information. So for those people looking for something, it's RMBRME, rememberme.com. And if you want to play with it, just text get Wayne Sutton, all together one word, Wayne Sutton, right? But get space Wayne Sutton or get space I do notes and send it to Remember Me, and that should do it for you, right?
I think 762763?
It's RMBRME. I can look it up. Hold on.
Yep.
I don't know.
That's it.
Okay.
So you can do that, and it'll go through. That's it. And, I was at the conference in Greensboro, and I ran out of business cards, you know, and I was like, hey, just use this, which was fine with me, because, you know, some people do still look at your phone if you don't give them a business card. They're like, what? And I'm like, well, I moved on, you know.
Right.
I like this actually better than business cards. And another feature I like about the service, and I know we've got to move on, but the fact that everybody I send a text or email to, it stores it in their online website. So it's like keeping a list of everybody who I've met for me.
Yes. I forgot about that. You're right. So you get to find out who got one, right?
That's true. And so I can, like, say I met, and it stores like the date and time when I met them. So I send an email, say if I met you like last week at the conference, it'll store and say I sent Chris a Remember Me card on last week on this date, and here's his number. So I can go back and basically look at automatically, you get my card, my card, and I'll get your information at one time. Even though it was like it seems like it's just a one way communication. It's actually a do every time you do it.
Interesting. I need to do that myself. I think that way it'll show up. I'm gonna have to do the get to you. I'm gonna have to send a get message right to him and pull it down, because you're right. I forgot about the V card. I can get it online or through the phone and add it directly into my address book. So
yep.
That's a heck of a way to do it at conferences. People think we're silly, but I'm going to tell you now, I haven't ordered business cards in 2 years. And I ran out, and when I ran out, I said, forget it. But people said, well, how do we find you? Well, most knew the blog address or something else. Now, you want to find me, here you go. You get a whole thing. It has built-in Twitter, Facebook, Plaxo. You can put all your blogs, your corporate links. You can put whatever you want to put on there. And have they added service? Do you know, have they added some services outside of those few?
Not recently. I know they have the other where you can do your custom. You know, you just add just whatever type of URL, give a name, what type of profile you want that's not listed.
Oh, wait. So they do have more. They do have more. They have MySpace, Bebo, High Five, LinkedIn, Twitter, Plaxo, MyBlog. We'll skip a few of them they list.
Yeah.
They got a few other ones in there. So they've got a few more in there that you can actually do. So I need to add LinkedIn and some others on there too that I forgot about. So all right. So what, before we switch to the big hot topic and get out of here on time, did you have anything major going on down there in the Carolina? Yeah, you.
Oh wow, anything major? If I can get one of these websites up, that'd be major. Besides And then last week we had the conference in Greensboro where Scoble was there. We were just talking about new media and the direction and politics using social media. So that was kind of real big. And I'm real excited about, I've been attending a few LinkedIn meetups. There's a guy named Martin Bozeman who's a big LinkedIn business coach here in the Triangle. And he's doing a lot of training on LinkedIn. And it's just ironic, you know. I had like a revelation. I'm like, LinkedIn is going to be, has been around before Facebook and MySpace got real big and just riding the waves. And just like they did last night with the applications, LinkedIn, I'm starting to get a feeling it's going to be the number one social network for business people and the enterprise, you know, kind of the same thing, but for the enterprise over these other social networks, because they're going to create to where you can really start to see a monetization value out of using their network. So I'm starting to pay more attention and spend more time on LinkedIn, basically.
It's funny that you say that. The applications today, we didn't even touch on that, and that's one of the biggest new things, and we're hitting it on when they're releasing it. They put some hooks into, let's say, some public things, right, so that you actually have the ability now to add almost like a Facebook-type application to your your profile there. There was the Amazon Reader List, WordPress, SlideShare was cool, BoxNet Files, BlogLink Company Buzz, a couple others. There's only a couple others, might as well say what they are. Google Presentation, My Travel, which is through TripIt, right, and Huddle Workspaces, which was a good move on Huddle's part to get involved with it now. But it's becoming almost like a Facebook of sorts, if you think about it. Is that, you think that's the way they should be going with this?
I think, kind of what I posted on Twitter last night, is that I think they need to go something that's more social and kind of more community, like these features that they added, to make people who still say, I don't get LinkedIn, to see the social value of it by adding your personal blog, by adding some presentation that you've done to make people speak on the site more and to have conversations. Like, you look what they've been doing with the groups, what they've been doing with the groups and taking up the time. Now you got discussion in the groups. This is just part of their, like, really LinkedIn 2.0 or LinkedIn 3.0, if you want to call it that. And, you know, to basically start having people spend more time on the site versus using Facebook and other sites. So I think we're moving in the right direction.
Okay. Well, let me hit the hot topic of the day for me. This is one that really got under my nerves, is a bunch of companies now are sponsoring, and you don't really know it at first, but they're putting out webcasts. And the idea is social networking in the enterprise. And what they did today is, it turned out at the beginning, they had a guy do an entry for, I don't know, 10 minutes of social networking and how it could benefit a small and medium business. And then the next 5 to 10 was a little bit more information from the other speaker, who turned out to be the, I don't know if it was an evangelist or a product manager for an actual social network software company that sells social networks. So the rest turned into a sales pitch. Do you see in the enterprises a lot of movement towards getting their own social networks, or is it more how to use the public social networks?
Right now, I would say I see 80% of enterprise how to use social networks. And this is enterprise companies that are allowed to use, because, you know, I mean, we use each other all the time, but I mean, when I go to different meetups, I'm constantly reminded that they can't get on these sites. It's either blocked in the network, or, you know, the company saying that we can't spend time or share information. So you start to see companies start to getting trained on how to use social networks in the workplace and enterprise. And then the other, say, 20%, they're starting to use it for marketing and pitching and not really saying what their pure motives are and doing exactly like what you just said with the other situation. You know, starting off like, oh, this is community share information, and then going to, hey, I'm trying to sell you something, by the way.
I'm seeing a lot of companies that are trying to get into it and buying into it. You know, we do on the corporate side, we do a little bit of work with some of them trying to find out the costs associated, and most of them just see it as a hardware cost or as a fixed cost for services, but they don't see it as an investment in terms of employee time and effort and energy. And once you get it in there and start talking about it, they're lost with what to do with it. They're following this big wave of what they see on CNN and they follow in the Wall Street Journal. They don't know what to do with the networks once they get them installed, but yet all the social network companies are touting the fact that they've sold these accounts. And I'm not understanding why the companies don't see the benefit yet, or the movement of how to, you know, bring that social network atmosphere into the environment, because it's not just for young people, right? It's for everybody. And even the older old. Well, say older. Jeez, we're old. Even the people that have been sitting around computers for 10 to 15 years now, which is old in technology time, they get it. They understand what's going on, so I don't always understand who they're saying these people are that don't get it.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's like it's a different mindset, you know, from an enterprise standpoint. You start using social networks, you share information. I mean, I've been around some individuals in training who organize science blogging conferences, and 2008 was called science blogging. 2009 is going to be just called science online. And there's a huge war among scientists, old school and new school, as far as using social networking, social media to share information online. You got a half who don't get it, and then a half who do get it. And, you know, they argue among each other as far as saying, I want to share my code or my research using social media because I want the community to see what I've done. And if I'm using it for peer research and trying to solve or cure the cancer, why not get feedback from my online community? They understand about sharing information and communicating, you know, on the back channels of a social network and on sharing tips or code. We've got other communities like, I don't want to share. This is me. This is my private. This is my private information. I work hard. I don't want to share information. And then I'm hearing other people say in the conversations in the community, like, who wants to read this? Or who wants to know what I'm doing? Or who wants to, I mean, I tell people, you know, something you're doing, you have something in common with somebody else. So that's why you need to use social network to share information, to communicate. And if anything the enterprise needs in the workplace, is more communication on what you need to talk about instead of communicating about, well, that's not my job and not my responsibility, but work on using social networking to get things done.
You nailed it. I'm done. I'm done. Thanks, thanks, Wayne, for dropping by. You've answered absolutely everything. It's perfect. Now, my main thing right now is when I deal with the companies is getting them to understand the overall implications that they can do to draw this information into a central point, but it takes so much investment that if you don't plan out what you want to bring out of the employees, you know, be it bookmarks, silly, or be it the actual knowledge that they all have into some sort of collective, then you'll never reach the goal. Right? Look at all the microblogging applications that are firing up now. We've been talking about what? Presently, Headmix, we talked about a whole bunch of them the other day, trying to bring all this stuff together into the environment as a Twitter solution, but no one knows what to do with it.
Yeah.
They have no clue. And if they don't have a goal in mind, then it's not worth the effort at all.
Yeah. And yeah, it's like at Station, you know, we use Yammer, we have a Yammer account, but it's like no conversation happened on Yammer. None. Besides the first day or first 2 days, no conversation happened on Yammer. Either, you know, we post direct messages on Twitter each other or, you know, use this instant message AIM, it's just not happening. And I think it's because, you know, I ain't trying to let my boss admit, but there was no ground rules set up saying, hey, we're going to use this for this. You just install it and send out invites, boom, you know, a few communication channels, and then delete. So, you're going to set up as an enterprise, like you said, you're going to set up a social networking house before you start using it. You know, make sure it works, but create the plan, create the policy, create the strategy. I mean, you talk about community leaders, companies hiring community leaders to manage their online brand, you know, externally. You need to do the same thing internally as community leaders to be like project management of your social network.
You got it. You want a bonus site, and then we'll get out of here. We're right at 30 minutes, just the two of us. You want a bonus site? Have you seen updating.me?
Updating.me, man. Chris, you are open. That's what happens when you follow too many people on Twitter and have too many RSS feeds in Google Reader.
You need to do what I do, and I have a separate little group inside of FriendFeed just for the social geeks. So just the few of us, you know, you, me, Sarah, Corvita, Caleb, Lewis. I have a little group just for that, so I see this stuff go out. Updating.me. Take a peek at that one. I've got an account here already.
Updating. I might have seen it.
It's like Hello Text, but look at the services they hook to, and they're adding more stuff all the time. One central place to update. So for those of you looking for a place to update multiple sites from one client, and it's an Air app, Facebook, FriendFeed, Friendster, Identica, Haiku, what was that? Kunk? I don't know what that is. Plurk, Pounce, Rejaw, Twit Army, and Twitter. All from one area.
I have seen updating.me. Have you got a invite? You in?
I've got it.
yeah, I think I got an invite, but I don't think I created a profile. Let me see if I did. So you do not use better than ping.fm.
Well, I don't even use that. I'm to the point now where I don't use a lot of this stuff.
Uh-huh.
And the idea for me would be I don't want to have 50 different things going 50 different places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that. My mm-hmm. idea is that I want to be able to write it once in one place that I know I'm always at and have it propagate to the other sites. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But see, this is the other thing, though. For me, it's like each one of these microblogging or communities, they have different conversations happen on each one. And people who follow you, they know. They know when you're pimping, you know, content. They know when you're actually there participating in the conversation. You know, Vijay has his own community. Clark has his own. Pounce has his own. And I do have content going to Pounce. You know, like when I do like live stream videos, but I don't have content going to Identica or Clark or Vijay unless I use ping.fm to broadcast.
Did you give up on Clark? Like, did you give up on Clark?
I'm almost there. I actually posted a message in Clark today because I was like, I feel bad. I was like, let me just go say hey in Clark. And that's it. You know, hey, how you doing? I'm not giving up on. I'm almost there. As far as a regular user perk, I'm not a regular user perk no more. But it has its fans. My wife's a big fan. My mother still uses it. And, you know, they have community leaders over there. And it's interesting because perk, and even Rego, has great features for controlling and aggregating the conversation. It's better than Twitter. But it just doesn't have that community that I'm attracted to.
I'm with you. I went away a long time ago. So, you know, you're a step ahead of me. I went away a long time ago, and you hung in there for a while. So you definitely hung in there a while. All right, man, so where are you going to be the next few days? And we'll get out of here on time, and we'll go join the Reed Burner and harass them. Where are you going to be the next few
days? Reed Burner is gone.
They're done?
Yeah, Reed Burner is done. Like, I think they're done early, too.
They're done early. All right. So where are you gonna be?
Wow. This week, I'm gonna be basically planning election coverage for the station. I'm gonna be doing some live streaming, and on November 4th, and I'm getting ready for that for the station here in Raleigh. So gonna be on November 4th. I'm gonna be traveling Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, getting all type of people, you know, voting and feedback from the community. And we're gonna do a 4-hour live broadcast from the station. So I'm gonna be sending video footage back to Miami Sea here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And then the week after that, I'm really excited about doing a, I may be a panel or just a participant of WordCamp Charlotte, North Carolina. So I'm really excited about that. I think it's North Carolina's first WordCamp, and it should be fun.
Very cool. And I just got a post from Jeff. Jeff is a geek there who just sent me a posting on Twitter. I said he just got home from Highlight Midwest. Apparently it was a success. I was hoping he'd be able to jump in and tell us something exciting about it. So I told him if he had 2 seconds to get on in here if he could. But he said that Highlight Midwest is over and done. So they had an all-day event that started this morning. They consider us a flyover state here in, you know, the Midwest. So they had an all-day event that they brought in a bunch of social networking people. Sat down early, did registration at a bar. All day, mind you. They were at a bar. Now, I don't know. Don't know quite how they worked all that out, but they were at a bar all day long. And then throughout the whole day did presentations in a round robin in the bar, apparently 3 or 4. I was trying to picture. I think there was 4 they showed going on at once. And then, of course, had the lunch and had a keynote in the other parts. And Jeff was a key part of the whole event right there. I'm hoping he can get us an update at least on it next time if he doesn't sneak in here in the next 30 seconds. I myself... where am I going to be? I will be at our next recording, hopefully. We might have to move the time a little bit. I will be in Amsterdam that week that we're supposed to record again. Yeah, Amsterdam. Admin 2008 Europe. So it's admin2008europe.com. I'll be there. I'm presenting 12 or 11, I don't know, 13, I don't know. Every day, all day, I'm presenting different sessions. That's all in the Lotus Arena. Past that point, we are firing up and changing some of our podcast capabilities. We're going to add some new technology and function, so we should sound cleaner, better, faster, brighter, all that stuff. Firewire, multiple mixers, things like that. Everything Twitter is rolling. We're now up to 170 different clients inside of Everything Twitter. And I believe we have Jeff is a geek here. Let's see. Jeff?
Hey.
There's Jeff.
Hey, Jeff, glad you can make it.
Yes, at the last minute.
Well, we were talking about you, so you get to give us the final wrap-up. So give us the highlight of the highlight for Midwest today.
Oh, it was just a good event overall. Just a lot of people in the Midwest, developers and social media people, and just showing off their ideas and stuff, and just had a good time. Met a lot of good people.
So overall, how many people did you guys have show up over there?
I would say we probably had about 150.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's excellent. That's better than excellent. So now, how many presentations? I was trying to explain it. Now make a point. Not only did you send me a direct message, let me know you were just home so you could get on. You also checked in via BrightKite, didn't you?
I did.
you couldn't wait.
There you go.
30 seconds. You couldn't wait 30 seconds. So give us an overview of the presentations. Did you do four in the room at one time?
Yeah, they had was it three or four? Yeah, it was basically a local bar. So they had, it was all in the same room, and they at least had three going at one time. And so it really made it to where you could kind of follow, you know, almost more than one presentation at a time if you wanted. But they had presentations about stuff from some new social networks that some people are developing to just, I don't know, just all kinds of stuff, really.
No, you're such a big help. Yeah, I tried to hear part. You did stream a little bit of it, though, correct?
Yeah, they had some streaming going, and then I'll be putting up some videos of some of the presentations that I actually recorded on my flip video camera. So they should be up here probably in the next day or so.
Very cool. Yeah, I saw them on Ustream. Looked pretty good. It looked like a big event. I complained to you once during the day. You guys were in a round robin in a bar, which we were laughing at, but I was getting, they had it focused on one speaker, but I could hear everybody like nearby, I guess.
Right, yeah. The acoustics probably weren't the best, but overall, it was a great event. And then we also had an evening event. We went to the Kauffman Foundation, which is, if you're not familiar, Ewing Kauffman was a big Kansas City person, and he actually owned the Kansas City Royals. And he's given a lot of money to the community and to a lot of entrepreneurs. And they have this cool conference center here in Kansas City, and they had a round table and people speaking from all the different cities. So overall, it was a really good event. And I think they're going to have that on the website as well, the discussion they had tonight. So,
what's the website?
The website is highlightmidwest.org, and it'll have all the stuff, all the videos and everything. So if anybody wants to check it out and to see some of the stuff that's going on here in the Midwest area, it's a place to check it out.
And we will go now and go ahead and throw it into the bookmarks for the show itself. So everyone can have that. That won't be a problem at all. So everybody look for that in the bookmarks. Anything else, Jeff, coming up with you? I mean, you caught us right at the end, man. We covered it all.
No, nothing I can think of. Getting ready to start my weekend, so I'm sure I'll have some blog posts out there about who knows what.
Perfect. Thanks. That was right on the money. That's what we wanted to hear. Who knows what. And apparently we made Wayne miss the Reed Burner. They actually posted that it got done early, and I just saw that go across Twitter. So don't feel bad, Wayne. Yeah. He actually said it got done early. I think Adam posted it, right? Well, they got a new categorization system on Reed Burner now?
Yeah. So, basically, they're categorizing how many shares is being, by topic through Google Reader and the other sites that they use. Now, I've been trying to get into Reed Burner more recently, because I think it really owns you something as far as, like, you know, that whole, like you were talking about earlier, social aggregation, but doing it by doing shares and on their website. So, I mean, you can go there and see some of the same what people are looking at, versus you may go to Big Techme and a couple other places and see the same content on the web, and where on Reed Burner is not the same.
Can we point out who the featured burner is? That would be the Ninja.
Lou is great.
6,881 shares on Reed Burner.
Yeah.
He does nothing else. I'm just going to make that clear to everybody. Lou, the Ninja does. If he's listening to this one, he knows. He does nothing else.
And think about it, too, is like, he has an iPod Touch?
I've got a Touch. I've got an iPod Touch. How the heck do you work the thing?
And that's what I figured out. So what, he has a Google Reader application on iPod, you know, on his iPod Touch, and he just, you know, not the application, but the web app, and he just, like, share links and touch all day long. Or he's just got, you know, walking around his laptop and just sharing links.
So how do you, okay, you know what, we'll go through this later, because I need to figure out how we're going to jump through this and work this out, because I haven't played with ReadBurner enough, and I don't want to say anything good or bad, because I haven't actually done anything. So you can actually copy your own link thing into it and start sharing across ReadBurner the same way using your public feeds. Is that what we're getting at here?
In Google Reader, you get your share URL.
Right.
Just submit your share URL to ReadBurner, and then it'll start aggregating your shares inside of their platform.
Okay, because I'm at my stuff now. And then I click at this web page, and that's my shared stuff. Okay.
And Jeff.
I'm going to play with it.
Is Jeff there?
Yes, I'm there.
Yeah, did you meet, I think you met one of my fans, Live Crush.
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was cool meeting him. He's I think he's still a big, Chris, Live Crush is a big Perk guy, and he's still there on Perk. But he's a guy that way. He's doing some live streaming and has built a good kind of technology website, like my on livecrush.com.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he was doing the live streaming today, or some of it.
All right, guys. Oh, yeah, I'm already burned inside a ReadBurner. Apparently, tells me he doesn't like duplicates. Okay, so I'll stop playing while we're on the podcast. I'll stop playing with ReadBurner because apparently, just gave me a nice smiley face warning saying, "Stop trying to make duplicates inside there." So I've been there apparently. Jeff, thank you for jumping in as soon as you got back. Did they have an open bar all day? I'm just curious.
Didn't have an open bar at the day event, but tonight at the evening event, they had. Free dinner and free wine and beer and Coke.
and Coke.
Drink, not drug.
Okay. Woo. Yeah, it was a great par, wasn't it? They had a big party there, did they? I'm surprised you're still standing. All right, so we missed a few. We knew Sarah probably wouldn't be here because of PDC. Wayne jumped on and said ReadBurner, but like I said, no one listens to the ReadBurner podcast, so it doesn't really matter. So we'll tell Adam I said so. Let Adam know. We knew that's where Lewis would be. Corvita promised she would be here, and we will have words with her as soon as someone can find her. And if she hears this first, we're looking for you. So, guys, anything else before we go?
Good job, Chris, as usual.
No, man, no. Yeah, you guys put in all the hard work. I just sit here. So, like I told you, some new technology in a few weeks. Next, the call in 2 weeks, we might reschedule or move a day or two and shift it as I'm traveling overseas, so my times will be way off. Otherwise, guys, episode 10 has been dipped, and we're done.
Wait.
Call recording has been completed.
Hey, I like the way that works. I double dip. We got big things popping over here.